From the Financial Times in London, I'm Leslie Hook, and this is FT News. Despite efforts at recycling, more than half of all plastic waste created in the industrialized world has been exported for recycling elsewhere, mainly to China and other countries in Southeast Asia. But China, which has imported a cumulative 45% of all plastic waste since 1992, recently implemented a new policy banning the importation of most plastic waste. And this raises the question of where the plastic waste will now go. 1 million plastic bottles of water are bought globally every single minute, and many of these end up floating around in the sea. With me to discuss what needs to be done to tackle the problem is Amy Brooks and Jenna Dambeck, both of the University of Georgia, who have recently published a study on the global trade in plastic waste. They are joining us via Skype from Vietnam. Now, Amy, first I'd just like to ask if you might be able to summarize the findings of your research that have just been published in the journal Science Advances. How big a problem is this?
So we wanted to measure the impact of this ban in terms of how much plastic would be displaced by it. And we found that 111 million metric tons of plastic waste will be displaced by the new policy by 2030.
And where will that waste go? What are the initial signs of where it might end up instead, if not China?
It will either be landfilled or potentially incinerated. And then there are implications that it may be sent to more countries in the Southeast Asian region. And we're seeing reports of that increase in imports in those types of countries. And there's certainly the question as to whether or not they will be able to manage that waste once it's there.
Jenna, what have your conversations been like around the increase in shipments of plastic waste to Vietnam? What are you hearing?
Yeah, so we've been on the ground here in Vietnam for a few days, meeting with folks that are participating in the recycling industry here. And what we have heard is that there have been increases into the shipments of waste to be recycled, waste plastic for recycling within Vietnam. Also was publicized in the news that Vietnam sort of put a cap on the import of plastic waste for recycling as well. And so certainly we do know that none of the countries in this region have the same capacity as China to be able to meet this demand for this exported waste out of all of these other countries to this region. So it really sort of begs the question, where is this plastic going to go?
So you said this begs the question of where it's going to go. Will there be an environmental cost of all of this waste that's now sort of looking for a home?
Well, I think interestingly enough is that we're seeing some actions domestically, and I can speak for the U.S. being from there. One example is the city of Phoenix even put out a request for proposals for a company to step up and try to recycle the material that they used to export. So I think what this means is that many of these countries sort of need to look internally, think about taking responsibility for managing the waste that they create within their borders, and even take it maybe as an opportunity for innovation and economic development. But we certainly need to sort of fix many things in this recycling system, because we were only recycling 9% of plastic waste in the first place. So it's certainly a challenge.
Amy, I think a lot of our listeners will kind of be wondering what they can do. What's your advice to people on the individual level in terms of what type of personal actions can have an impact?
One thing that we often like to tell people is that every little choice that they make to reduce their plastic use has an impact. And so even a simple decision like using a reusable water bottle or a reusable bag to go grocery shopping, that sort of thing, can have a big impact. It may not feel like that when one person individually makes that choice, but when millions of people decide to do that, it can be very impactful.
Thank you, Amy. Now, Jenna, I know a few years ago you wrote a paper that calculated the magnitude of plastic waste going into the ocean. Give us a status update on how much plastic is going into the ocean today.
Certainly, I can do that in a moment. I want to circle back one moment to what citizens can also do. And I would say recycle more accurately. And it's very hard for a citizen. So, I mean, we also have to educate folks from our communities on what can and can't be recycled. Because part of the reason that China isn't really wanting a lot of this material is because it's not very well source separated. And so actually our materials recovery facilities are having a hard time getting a clean commodity stream out of them and also having quite a few residuals. So it makes it not a very economically favorable scenario right now at our material recovery facilities. So talking about the plastic going into the ocean, actually our 2015 number is still the most current number. So there has been quite a few actions taken by countries around the world. We've actually seen a lot of policies by both companies and countries in terms of committing to using more recycled materials, communities and countries banning certain items like plastic bags, trying to reduce their straw usage, increasing waste management infrastructure. And it's a very dynamic system. And we certainly would love to update that research and are currently working on that.
It must be difficult to really measure how much plastic is ending up in the ocean. How do you go about measuring that?
We built a model based upon country-level data. And so we looked at 192 countries around the world with a coastline. And we looked at a 50-kilometer buffer of population density along that coastline. And then we looked at the per-person waste generation rate, the percent of that waste that's plastic, and then the percent of the waste that's actually mismanaged, and that's waste that's not managed in a formal infrastructure, and litter. And then from there, there was three scenarios of what actually made it to the ocean, a low, mid, and a high scenario. So this was a model really based upon economic status of countries, which is coupled with their per-person waste generation, historical and projected plastic generation rates, and population density.
And when can we expect the new update that you mentioned you're working on?
That's a very good question. I think part of this is that we're trying to better quantify the interventions that people are having. This first paper came out of a working group out of NCS at UC Santa Barbara, and I'm now in an international working group called SYNC out of University of Maryland. And there we're trying to come up with sort of a more established business as usual and then try to look and see what kind of impacts the interventions that people are taking are having. So it's sort of a combo approach in terms of relooking at this data and the model.
Going back to Vietnam for a minute, can you describe what you're observing in Vietnam, how much plastic waste is ending up in the ocean, and what the waste collection systems there are like?
We were mostly within Ho Chi Minh City at this trip, but I've been to Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh City previously. Neither of those are directly on the coast. Currently, right now, we're in Da Nang and have mostly been at meetings, so haven't really been able to observe exactly what's on the coastline as of yet. But in terms of mismanaged waste on the land, we certainly have seen that. I would say what I've most commonly seen are coffee cups, to-go cups with straws. Also, they tend to put the to-go cups in a small plastic bag, so you have a disposable cup with a lid and a straw that's in a plastic bag, and it's because they have a huge motorbike way of transport here. And that's how people are able to carry their drinks while they're riding their motorbike. So I think what's really interesting is to see sort of the context and the culture around the world and how that really impacts the waste that's generated and that needs to be managed. And how could you actually change that? Because this is a unique situation that people want their drinks and be able to also ride their motorbike.
That's true. It really varies from place to place. The things that generate plastic waste and the uses for plastic. Are there any positive examples of recycling systems in Vietnam that you've come across?
I would say the recycling that we've seen in Vietnam is very much a part of the informal sector, even where you have some of the independent collectors who are not really informal. They get paid by the homeowners who collect their waste, but then they separate out the recyclables themselves and then sort of take them to these junk shops that are typically located outside the city. We see lots of women working in this industry, and they are very entrepreneurial. And it seems to be a fairly thriving industry, but of course, the working conditions are not good. But they do seem to be fairly successful, especially for the high-value plastic materials like the clear beverage bottles and things like that. But the low-value materials are still leaking from the system because they just don't have enough value for collection.
Got it. Well, thank you very much. Thanks, Jenna. Thanks, Amy. And for those of our listeners who would like to read their recent study, we'll add a link to it in the show notes on this podcast. Also, we're asking listeners to rate our podcasts and to tell us what you like and don't like about our shows. To contribute to our survey, follow the link in our show notes or go to ft.com/podcastfeedback and enter our prize draw. Thanks for listening.